The phoenix and the dragon in traditional Japanese tattoos symbolize harmony and power. That there is no inner strength without harmony. Brought to you by your two co-hosts, Brian Comstock, an e-commerce brand builder in the field of ergonomics with GetNeely.com. He's experimented with every form of scientifically validated human advancement, ranging from MDMA-assisted therapy, ayahuasca retreats, to peptides and stem cells. Scott Conway is a lead generation and sales expert who has a Hyros.com certified lead generation agency, LGG Media. He is a dragon.
Episode 22, The Phoenix and the Dragon. Met here by my co-host, Mr. Brian Comstock. How are you doing today, sir?
Doing phenomenal. Excited for another. We got a juicy one today. There's some timely events happening in the world. Some artificial intelligence taking the world by storm. So we got a resident expert who's going to geek out on with us. But I'm doing well, man. Thanks. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm excited for this guest. He's actually my business partner at LG Media, and he's the marketing god himself, Mr. Juan Colicchio. What's going on?
Thank you for having me, guys. Finally. 22 episodes later.
Yeah, 22 episodes good. Welcome to the show.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
So
you're welcome for having me.
So we have a lot to talk about today, Juan. What's walk the folks through like ChatGPT, what's going on with OpenAI, and how's it relevant to business?
And also before you go like level 10 on it, like start with a little bit of a entry level of it, of getting everyone like baseline up to speed on what it is, what's going on.
Somebody who doesn't know what it is. Both.
Okay. We'll start with the basics. OpenAI is an artificial intelligence company owned by Elon Musk. They've been developing this machine learning called ChatGPT. They've had previous versions of this. They have the most recent one we've been using. It's called DaVinci Learning Code. Now, DaVinci has it from 002 has evolved to something called DaVinci 003. And ChatGPT is essentially a chat. You can just ask the things that you would otherwise be asking Google. If I tell ChatGPT, if I type on the thing and I would say, hey, ChatGPT, can you create me a workout, push and pull, 3 times a week? I don't want to spend more than 1 hour in the gym. Can you show me what that workout would look like in a table format? And the thing,
are your workouts the push pull workouts similar to your relationships, like push pull, or is that just the workout?
I typically do 2 and 2. I do two. I don't usually do both push and pull at the same time. I should push one day and then pull the next.
Yeah, yeah.
Then try to do legs as well on the third, but throw some arms and shoulders in there. Edit that out, please. But yeah, so ChatGPT right now is operating like a search engine. You can ask anything you want to it. It will build it out for you. And then the beautiful thing about it is, say, for instance, I'll continue with example of the workout routines. It spits out, and maybe Scott, I can share my screen. I can do it live here. We can.
Yeah, please.
Okay with you. Let me make sure I don't have anything on my background here. Any work-related stuff. Or if you want, I can change my example. Instead of workout, we can probably do something more related to marketing. You guys want?
Yeah. I know a guy who'd use this to... He's write me a text to send to Nicole, this girl that I used to see a year ago, to get her to like me again. I've seen some really bizarre use cases with it. And she responded to it. And then he screenshotted that the whole thing and then sent a bunch of laugh emojis off to some other people. I can't believe she thought this was me. So that's the level of it, of play now. They will not, like, you can say in my voice, for this person, you can do some really unique things. So that's just one example I know of, but like this is like iPhone 1. So the fact that we're talking at this level of complexity for iteration 1 is there's going to be a while. There's going to be some interesting stuff coming down.
Yeah. The way I see ChatGPT and overall anything open, any product from OpenAI right now related, the way I see it is, imagine you go to work or you want to do anything at any given time, and you have a little bit of a doubt about a specific topic, and you have a subject matter expert sitting right next to you that you can just watch and say, hey, buddy, how do we do this? And buddy will fucking spit out the entire design that you want to see. For instance, and I want to, is it okay if I do, we can do some marketing stuff maybe?
Yeah, please, let's do it.
Or more of a Okay. And then we'll do maybe something more of a general day-to-day stuff. I know it's called, we've been fucking around with this thing for way too much time.
Does creatine cause hair loss or fucking not? I need to know the answer.
Does creatine, what are the side effects of creatine?
Creatine, is that a case?
Are we throttle? Oh, hold on. Let me just refresh this. A lot of what are, list the side effects of creatine use. So creatine is widely studied as a safe supplement that is commonly used by athletes and bodybuilders to increase muscle mass and miss important to the top. However, like all substances, it can have potential side effects. Imagine you're writing a content piece on creatine usage.
It's also possible. Are people going to start like copy pasting these as blog posts for their blogs and stuff?
You know what? That's a great
question. Talking about that for the last 2 days. Yeah, Juan, what do you have on that?
Yeah, the take from the SEO experts we've been interacting with is that Google is, it's like a cat and mouse game with Google. Yeah. Google will inevitably figure out what is AI content that is created by machine, and it will eventually just slap you in the wrist and it will catch up to you. The best use case of this system is, one, is create the content piece, and then obviously go in there and actually add some human input to change it. The thing about ChatGPT is if I put this query in and then you go ahead and put the same query, we'll have two different answers. Two of the same.
It's, you do write me a blog post that Google will never know that was written by OpenAI. It's like, you're just like,
we can get creative. I'm going to show you a feature here is that I asked the machine here to list the side effects of creatine use, right? And it spit out a paragraph. But if I say I follow up with this thing and I write another prompt here, it will use the context of the previous conversation and output to relay response.
You can refine it a little bit and it won't just recur.
Refine it into a list and it will follow my command. And then can you create, let's see one. You
for, can audio listeners, for the audio listeners, we just listed out the creatine side effects on OpenAI in a list.
Yeah, we got weight gain, stomach upset, diarrhea, muscle cramping, and potential long-term liver and kidney damage. So now we're going to ask the machine to create us some catchy YouTube titles, 10 YouTube titles about the side effects of creatine.
Yeah, because we're getting into what would be the current applicable, like useful use cases for this.
Yeah, I'm just going through the ones that I've learned a few and I know a few combos. I'm going to do a pretty big combo wombo here right after this one. I'm going to blow your minds away. But if you can read this to the audience, what's the output that it's reading here?
Basically, I want to, it's 10 titles that are all like on the money, right? The truth about creatine, kidney. We're not going to read them all just to keep the thing moving. But the point is, like, if you wrote 10 pretty good titles,
like bait,
the more clickbait, you just ask the prompt.
And it can, that's not even.
The most important thing is that it's able to take everything I've said before and based on the most recent prompt, it will output. So if I tell this thing now.
Okay, so I'm not going to ask OpenAI. I'm going to ask Juan, my guest. What do you, can you please list the use case? What do you see the current use cases now and in the future of like how? So we just went through one example being you could come up with different YouTube titles, blog titles. Like, where do you see whether you want to focus on marketing or any domain that you feel knowledgeable in of like, how do you see this playing out for business owners?
I think that this tool essentially will level the field for anyone that is not a subject expert on any. For instance, if I want to become a YouTuber tomorrow and I have no idea how to become a YouTuber or how to create catchy YouTube titles for my video, and I don't know anything about scripting, and how to prepare the best layout for a video on my YouTube videos.
What are they saying? What is OpenAI or Elon, what are they purporting this to be? Like, how are they framing this from a publicity or a product standpoint? What is the purpose of this from a, like, how are they framing that? I haven't even looked at, but that would be an interesting thing for me. You're a marketer who's going to dig for marketing cases. How are they purporting this is like a good thing or the overall benefits? Like, how are they framing this as for society?
You know what? I haven't seen anything.
Is it because if you look at Because if you look at Google, they say access the world's information or something. They had some tagline like that, right? So it's like, how is...
That's their tagline. Join us in the future of shipping the technology. Join us in shipping the...
Okay, so it's a vague, yeah. So it's vague and it's still, yeah, that's not clear. It's not like here's, it's not like their first thing is click here for 10 ways to YouTube titles and this and that. It's intentionally just vague and obscure from my perspective.
Yeah.
It's like, here's a fucking really cool toy. Go figure out what to do with it.
Yeah. How they make money. Maybe that will shed light into.
Yeah, that's probably a good place to start.
Their purpose. How they make money is through their API. So the more you use it, the more money they make. They make money through the API calls. Now, ChatGPT, right now, the interface is free.
For API, API with what?
Or anything.
No, I know.
So you can build any app you want using their API. But log into this.
What would be some specific use cases one? Because it's so broad. What would be?
Right. We'll give you the one that we're using right now. We've been using OpenAPI for a few months now to answer every single one of our customers' Google reviews. The machine uses the context of the review, the number of stars, and then we, in the input of the prompt, we explain what the business does, what support channels, what's the phone number for support. And then with all that information, along with the comment and the query, the comment on the Google My Business review for the customer, it takes all that information, creates an output and answers. We build a workflow that does exactly that. So I'm not sure if I... Would you like me to show you any real life examples?
Yeah, please.
This is a customer in Texas. They get a ton of reviews every single day across all their different dealerships. But yeah, so for instance, this is one that you can read out if you want. The machine just went and boom, responded. Sometimes it's long, sometimes it's not so long. It usually tries to match the size of the review.
And so you use OpenAI to do this?
Yeah.
How long has this thing been out, available?
That's a good question. Their API, we've been a few years now.
Really? I feel like I'm hearing about it more recently. I don't know. Okay, so somehow I thought this
was... ChatGPT came out this week.
Oh, that's what it is.
2 weeks. Yeah.
So that's... is that like a subset of OpenAI or how's that all fit?
It's a product of OpenAI. Right now, OpenAI is introducing the ChatGPT. It's in research mode. Right now, it's actively being trained. But if you want to use and access the... Let me just go log in here. Anyone that has a credit card can go in here and set up an account with OpenAI. You log on to and you go into the playground. And here you can... This is essentially ChatGPT. It uses the DaVinci 3 model from OpenAI, which is what ChatGPT is built on. And here you can input anything you want without any restrictions, and you pay for those uploads.
How do you like keep up to speed with all this stuff? Is there, do you follow different people, or like how do you like know all this? What's your sources of information for piecing this together, or do you just follow certain companies, or like how do you? Yeah,
for OpenAI specifically, I learned through various Facebook groups, people I know involved in a lot of automation groups. I see a lot of use cases that are automated and. One thing leads to another. I just learned about OpenAI a couple of months back. I even have the workflow that I just shared with you, this one, on how this happens. I actually built a video on YouTube. It's on YouTube. It's been there for a few months now that explains exactly how to do that workflow. Now, to answer your question, how am I aware of this, of the release of this thing? It's through a newsletter. I just signed up for it. There's Twitter communities as well that talk about this thing.
Is your current use case for your business just the reviews that you just showed us, or do you have other ones that you use or will use?
Question. That's a good question. So right now, the one that we have in production is the reviews one, and we have a check system in place for all those reviews. So the output is generated in a spreadsheet, and then we review it, and we manually push it out into as a Google review. So we have a human actually reviewing the output of the machine.
It's like an approve moderator for the comments.
Exactly.
How does that affect their Google My Business as well as their overall SEO?
It's for the better. Usually people that don't...
It just fucks everything up. Yeah, they pay us to fuck everything up. Yeah.
Imagine. No, so when you get Google reviews, for instance, it looks good on Google's eyes when the owner or anybody in the business responds to those reviews, whether good or bad. So this helps when you have hundreds of reviews every week across multiple things, you need a dedicated resource to do that. But with this thing, it's game over. We have it dialed in. We're managing right now over 20 locations with only one person. just reviewing. And that person has the bandwidth to probably do another 80, maybe, but 180.
20 Google My Business profiles or 20?
Correct.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. With multiple reviews per week per profile.
Wow.
It's essentially the productivity of a human increases significantly because you go from having to come up with the stuff yourself to now having essentially a framework, a design of what you want the output to look like. And then you just mold and shape it into exactly what you want it to look like. So for people that are not very creative like myself, this to me is it's a fantastic tool. Because if I want to say, hey, and let's go back here.
And one on that note, say for example, because we have a marketing agency. So when you say that you're not very creative, like what are some of the strengths of what makes you a great marketer?
Data. I like creativity, I focus mostly on numbers. So I know what input numbers I have to control to get my desired output for anything involved in marketing. So for instance, we're looking at Google Ads, we're looking at a Google AdWords account. We know exactly what the numbers should look in order to get the desired output. High level overview. Not necessarily nothing too complex. So if a business owner is listening to this, if you're looking at your Google Analytics account, if you go in there, there's data everywhere. You can go down that rabbit hole, have a great time. But if you don't know what you're looking at or how to understand the data and what the data means, it's useless to you.
We could definitely talk about attribution. We can touch on attribution, but you were just saying the prompt for the reviews.
Yes, correct. Yeah. So overall, so right now in production, we have the workflow that allows us to generate reviews for customers and we then approve, edit. So we then edit, approve, and approve and push into production at scale. So we can do that for up to, I would say, 100 Google business profiles right now per individual that we hire to work those accounts. Another use case that I can imagine for myself, given the amount of content that we are going to be producing, building, standardizing a process to create YouTube videos, scripting what you're going to say as well is something that I think we can standardize. So for instance, if I wanted to make a YouTube video on this, on the shocking truth about creatine and your health, just to keep on building on this, can you build me a script template, a YouTube video script, or a video titled?
Do you have to say please? Apparently it doesn't require any special treatment or...
Not yet. At least not yet.
I asked it. I asked it if it was alive and whether I needed to be polite to it. It said no.
I feel like you're my best friend. Can I be polite to you? No.
No, I'd be super curious to see what, if you ask the machine, can you create a prompt that you can input on DALL-E. DALL-E is the AI of OpenAI that allows you to create images from prompts. Oh, here, you can, the machine just built us an entire YouTube script here.
Wow.
Yeah, so for somebody like that's not very creative, that has no idea what they need to do, but they know they need to create content, like this is something that's extremely useful. But at least guide you what you need to do.
What other ideas do you have besides the reviews?
Not sure, Scott, can I share?
Yeah, please.
One of the projects that we're actively working on is we're going to be aggregating lots of different digital marketing related news sources, setting up Google Alerts for the sources or using RSS feeds for the sources, taking all that data, putting it through OpenAI so we can generate an executive summary of each one of those news, aggregating all those news for generating summaries of every single one of these news articles, build those out for each individual news, and then building an executive summary at the end of the day that we can then push to anybody that subscribes to our newsletter.
That's pretty cool. There's the company called The Hustle that now he has a podcast called My First Million, but he basically it was just a newsletter and he was hiring a bunch of people to kind of do what you just said, but if you have more of a way to get all the kind of information in and pull it in, it's like you can streamline just the process of even creating a newsletter.
Yeah, I even think that this can be used for reputation management too. We're just talking to a colleague of ours and he has a contract with a very large company and he's been hired strictly to do technical SEO as well as to make sure that if there's any negative news out there on Google, he is able to summarize those news and send them to the legal team for them to take it. Care about of those news outlets or
whoever. Make it sound like they're taking out. That's a hit.
Yeah, it's yeah. he was telling me that it's pretty intense, the amount of volume of things that happen. But through ChatGPT, the machine has only been trained with data up until 2021. When you actually pay for it, you have access to the actual internet. So if I plug in here, for instance, let's pull up a news article. It is news.
Is ChatGPT free, or how do they do that?
ChatGPT right now is in research, so it's free. I don't know. No, this Christmas. We're in Toronto. No, Christmas is starting. Okay. Let's take this news, the Globe and Mail. And I use the actual interface.
We use a different article, so the last one is not as controversial, so that we don't get...
Yeah, which one do you want me to use?
Here's... We don't get shadow banned. No, will it snow this Christmas? That's a good one. That's not controversial. It's not... Maybe the Federal Reserve raising interest rates.
Will it snow this holiday season? Where are
I'll do you one better. Let's do something related to financial news, such as a news report. Do you know what company has reported earnings recently?
We can just do Apple.
So we're in Q3. It should be out. Earnings reports, press release from Apple, the financial report, or can you summarize? Let's call it. Can you, no, let's do a different prompt. Can you create a summary for a fifth? What? Let's do an eighth grader.
Well, we have some fifth grade listeners.
Oh, no, sorry. Let's do Can you create a summary of the following article? Can you create a fifth grader summary of the following article? It's going to cost us 2 cents, Scott. So we plugged in here. Just read out the prompt and then read out the response. Go ahead.
Can you create a summary of the following article? Apple reported its third quarter results. They made a lot of money. Exclamation. Record-breaking sales of iPhones, Macs, and iPads. They also had all-time high revenue from services. They're doing really well, and they're very proud of their success.
Well, that for reference, the article was...
That is our Apple.
That's going to give me a competitive insider trading level of information. So I thank you, ChatGPT, for your wealth of... Yeah.
Now, sorry, Brian, just to make sure this is clear, this is not ChatGPT.
Oh, okay.
This is the Da Vinci model that we're using, the most recent one, the series, which ChatGPT is built on top of. ChatGPT is like a Google search engine, if you want to call it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot for a second we did fifth grader. I was like, damn, that was dumb. Okay,
that makes... switch it to... if we go from eighth grader summary... Oh, here.
Oh, okay. That looks more like it. All right. Fair enough.
I think I like the eighth grader summary. Actually, use numbers.
Now we have some more specifics. One not. All right. Well, fair enough. Okay. How much have you thought about the future of where things are going with all this? Or have you just been more focused on kind of making use of it in the here and now?
So far, I've been just focusing on how to use the tool right now. I haven't really been focusing on where it's going right now. Not a lot of people know about this.
And yeah, it's...
Do we know how to use it? Probably just using it to play around with it. But this is going, in my opinion.
In your opinion?
Good question. I think this is going to eliminate the need to have to go through chatbots to get responses. I think you can train ChatGPT or in whatever version comes out on a knowledge base for your product, if you're a business owner, or a service that you sell. You're probably going to be able to train the algorithm.
ManyChat is probably freaking out, or any of those chatbot companies are probably see this as a massive threat. I wonder how they would respond to this.
Yeah, think about it.
Why can't they? They could just use it to enhance their offerings. That's right. If you already have, correct. You just say now we're a better chat. Now we have more functionality, and you see that progress. Like the first question's, "Hi, can I help you? Yes or no?" And then it's just click, click until I talk to an agent. Fuck you. Now it'll extend that. How far you can really? Amazon's the best one I've seen. I don't know if it's the best, but I've gotten through a whole problem just through there without having to talk to an agent. Most chat stuff is at the level where I just can't even deal with the automated shit. It just is too rudimentary, but that's just going to continue to evolve. And I got a whole issue with Amazon resolved 100% through their automated chat, because they are usually going to be ahead of the curve with things like that. Not every company can afford a chat box, who is 10 times better than ManyChat or whatever the other shit that people use. Anyway, that's my observations with it.
Yeah, you can pay OpenAI 2 cents per API call to help your customer in real time to get a good response based on your knowledge base and any other knowledge from the web that you allow it to learn. Or you could pay somebody 10, 15 bucks an hour to be customer support rep on the line waiting and to help people. As a business owner, this is going to, if anything, I think this technology is going to annihilate customer support queries answered by humans. And it's going to increase the demand for developers to be able to incorporate this technology into existing softwares.
I wonder how it's going to affect the call center industry as a whole. That's probably an interesting question.
That's a great question. I know for a fact that I can't remember the name of the company, but there's a company that has an API that allows you to take audio in multiple languages, different dialects, it's able to understand it, put it on script, it's able to write it down. And then I know for a fact there's companies that would take that audio, turn into transcription, and then take the transcription and be able to answer it and then convert it back into audio. It's pretty crazy, this stuff. I don't know what are the legalities around that. That may constitute as a robo-dialer if you're talking to a machine, talking to an AI. I don't know if he has a personality, if it would constitute as a robo.
I wonder, this is interesting. I wonder if it's, because to me, it's almost like a more interfacey Google. Like you said, it's like Google, but it's a little more interfacey. But the thing about Google is they've already spent billions of dollars triaging the internet. So figuring out like what's a valid source, what would you bump to the top, what's garbage. So to me, like, I wonder if how they go about that, or if they can like piggyback off what Google's already done, which is again, a fuck ton of resources have gone into deciphering and organizing the every website, every internet. Like you could just say, oh, I have access to the entire internet, but you still need to have a sense of like how you make heads or tails of what's valid, what's important, what's a reputable website. And that's, so I'm just curious how much overlap borrowing they've done here with Google.
That's a good question. Google right now, think about how you use Google. You go on Google. Okay, Google, stop. She's listening to me. Think about the query that we just did here. List 5 harmful side effects of consuming creatine. Creatine. Right? Want to put the same query on Google. As a user, what do you want to see? Do you want to see this? Or do you prefer to, and having to go through each site to validate the responses?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's almost like the top hit of Google is how I'm thinking about it. It gives you the top hit of Google, more or less.
I mean, this is the response versus list.
So utility as a search engine as well. Interesting to see how they monetize this further.
Yeah, I can only imagine that Google will probably want to do something similar. I don't know how their business model will change, though. Imagine like you go on Google and then you see this instead of seeing all the sites and all the ads.
This is like the fifth industrial revolution. It's like we're witnessing a foundational piece of history. Like it's insane to think about that. Yeah, if we consider the internet the fourth one, this is the fifth one, and it's been. What was the internet invented? When did it go public? Like
same time as Web 3.0?
1993. I don't know why that's the first year that comes to mind. It's probably off, but if we say that when the internet first gained traction in the 90s, like we're talking about a 30-year period where we have a massive increase in output and productivity.
There's your answer.
I knew it was invented in like the late 60s or 70s, but it popularized.
I got you. Yeah. Like when it's really, when it's really like actually publicly useful, I'm with you.
Yeah. I knew I butchered the actual inception date.
Oh, for the listeners, I just plugged that same question that Scott just had into ChatGPT and it just spit out the answer.
Thank you for
60s and 70s.
ChatGPT said Scott doesn't know shit.
We should have this open, Brian, whenever we need to fact check something on the podcast.
That's another good, use of it. You get in these like tiff wars with people and let's see what they say.
Phoenix, the dragon, and the AI assistant.
Will the Phoenix and the Dragon be widely successful and one of the top podcasts in the future? See, can it predict the future? Is it a fortune teller too? Because that could be cool.
Here's the thing about ChatGPT. It has a limit. It's free, but it has limitations of knowledge of events after 2021. And I know you guys started in 2022, right? So we're going to need to go to the actual paid side of it. We're going to go in here. We're going to say, actually, do you guys have the direct link to your Spotify channel?
I can get it.
I'm really curious to see is, can you summarize what, actually, hold on a sec. Let's go in here. What is the meaning of life of the Phoenix and the Dragon? I'm really curious about this answer.
It's just going to separate them.
Do you want to see what it means when they're together?
All right. We have to pretend we can read faster than we can because I don't want to bore our audio listeners.
That's true. But for the audio listeners, we just plugged that question. What is the meaning of the Phoenix and the Dragon? And it just laid out the answer.
The cliff notes being the Phoenix symbolizing rebirth and renewal, representing the cycle of life, death, and rebirth, often associated with the sun. Dragon, on the other hand, is often seen as a symbol of power and strength. In some cultures, it's associated with wisdom, good luck, while in others, it is seen as a fearsome and destructive creature.
Phoenix and Dragon in marketing. So we're going to ask it to see, and I don't know if this one's going to do it with ChatGPT. I know with the other stuff, it can do wonders. But we're going to ask, can you create an analogy for the relationship between the Phoenix and the Dragon?
Do you mean in digital marketing? Right, in digital marketing?
No, I was going to say, I wanted to create an analogy for Phoenix and Dragon and digital marketing to see how they are related to each other.
I think it's going to confuse. Let's see what happens. I think it'll confuse it, is my guess.
Analogy for Phoenix and Dragon. I don't know. We're going to see what comes out. And then we're going to. That's what I meant to say. Thank you. Please read this out loud. I think it's very valuable.
Oh my God. Look at that last line. So, starting from the prompt. So can you create an analogy for the Phoenix and Dragon in digital marketing? Phoenix, an analogy for this, it goes full sentence. So just as the Phoenix is a symbol of rebirth and renewal, constantly rising from the ashes to start anew, digital marketing is constantly evolving and changing with new technologies and strategies emerging all the time. Just as the Dragon is a symbol of power and strength, digital marketing can be a powerful tool for businesses. Allowing them to reach new audiences and grow their customer base. However, just as the Dragon can be seen as destructive and fearsome, the constantly changing landscape of digital marketing can also be overwhelming and intimidating for those who are not prepared.
Wow.
We're living in the future, ladies and gentlemen.
That was powerful. That is a powerful description for the podcast, I think, eh? You want to relate digital?
What a fucking incredible.
It's like better than. It's like smarter than us now. That's a better analogy than most people would come up with.
Ryan, does it need a time for a rebranding?
I'd be curious to see
what
Phoenix and the Dragon and Dolly would populate. Have you guys seen Dolly? Do you guys know what Dolly is?
Dolly? I've seen it come up a few times in the news, but I'm not too familiar with it. Can you explain it, Juan, for our listeners?
Certainly. Dolly is essentially a tool from OpenAI for reproducing images based on prompts. So if I want to.
Is that what the Lens app is built on?
Yes. That is exactly correct. Let me head over here. I'll show you guys. We have time for this. We're going to create you as an artwork for the podcast for the Phoenix and the Dragon using AI.
Make it corporate and badass. Curious how it would put those two things together.
Phoenix and Dragon. Corporate was a drawing. But for the record, I believe that because of how powerful this tool is, I think that whoever wields this power and knows how to create the prompts to do exactly what you wanted to do, that is going to be probably one of the most valuable skills in the world. The moment this tool came out, whoever knows how to create prompts to get the desired outcome is going to be a very wealthy individual. Sorry, back to this. So a drawing.
You better know how to write SOPs.
Oh, we can do it. We can show some of that in a bit for business owners. I know that people are asking how to create strategies online or how to create an ideal customer profile. What are the steps to do that? Can you provide an example of it? Sorry, a drawing of Phineas and a dragon. I know we're going all over the place here. And what do you have a preference how you want it to look like or to use something as reference? Do you want it to be an oil canvas or?
Yeah, oil canvas. Let's do it. An oil canvas that's like corporate, classy, badass.
Of a Phoenix corporate.
It'd be cool if we could upload our photos, Scott, and then have it be like overlay them with the image and all that. That'd be sick.
I'm going to try that.
As old canvas of a Phoenix and dragon. What do you want Phoenix and the dragon to be doing? Interwining?
Yeah. Banging?
What? Interwining. Interwining?
Yeah.
Let me. That's a tough one.
Interwining. Scott just says, yeah.
Whining? All right. I'm going to try it.
So this like auto generates, and this is royalty free and everything. You just use whatever you want.
Wow.
I like it.
Looks like Yu-Gi-Oh.
Is this free too?
No, this costs us a few cents, I think, Scott. But,
oh, shit.
Yeah. Oh, but we can be aggressive here with variations as well. You can also, if you have...
Oh, here's another use case is like, I'm about to pay an agency to photo shoot and redo my image stack of my product and all that. And it's, if you had this and you could just be like, put a home background behind my product, or you could come up with image stacks and things.
Let me see if I see this. Let's run this example. I don't know if it's going to allow me to see it.
NGS.
I believe... It's
great, like different image stacks.
There's Ashley Chen.
Make my product look good on the beach with someone using it on the beach or something.
I was going to do, maybe we can make, then we can expand. We could actually have the AI, for instance, take this image. I want to edit the image. I want to see if we can, I don't know, I haven't played around with this, the image generator tool much. But hypothetically, we can tell the tool, this is all I have. Say, for instance, you have only this part of the drawing. I want you to generate the rest of the image. Like, I want you to show me a battlefield on the background. I want to see the spread wings of the Phoenix. I want to see it shooting flames out of its mouth. I don't know. You can be as crazy as you want. I just don't know enough yet about this. And I'm sure there's tutorials out there maybe that do it. But you can upload images and you can allow it to expand the image. So if you have a headshot of yourself, you can allow it to draw your body and come up with it. It's pretty crazy. But yeah, that's what you can. Do you guys want me to save the images for you or not?
Yeah, I like all of these. Oh,
I paid 2 cents for them, so let's save them.
Yeah, let's not waste them.
Save them. And then I wanted to show one more example of the technology for GPT here for business owners. I'll give them a real use case for themselves beyond just dicking around with the software. We're going to say step-by-step process for building an ideal customer profile. So this essentially is your super assistant giving you exact output on how you can build an ideal customer profile. So right now it's saying to create an ideal customer profile, follow the following steps. And it's spitting out, so far it's down to.
Ryan, when you're seeing all of this stuff in action, like what's the first thing that comes to mind for use cases and like how can you like take away from this, and what do you think that the average person can take away from this?
I'm thinking through all that. I think some of it is one use case that is like with the creatine one of like whenever I'm researching something, I will dig through 20 links, 20 article. Like I'll basically try to synthesize what I consider the cream of the crop or what Google considers the cream of the crop. So I think it can expedite. I think there's a few ways of is insert supplement evidence-based or, and what's the evidence? What's the degree of evidence supporting whatever? Cause a lot of that's like a quote Google thing that takes me time is like deciphering how much evidence supports anything. And so I think this could expedite and make that a little bit more efficient, effective. So that's one thing that I'm excited about with it. And then like Juan said, like anytime you have a creative block, I mean, you can just play around with it. Like, I don't even know if this would work, but you could, maybe you could basically upload your entire blog post and then say, can you create a clickbaity title based on this blog post? Like that's another way.
Synthesizing information, research papers as well, is something that I think you can possibly use for your own use case.
Yeah. Synthesize
paper link.
Yeah, I know. I actually know, as a side note, there's one company called examine.com that they hire a bunch of research people and PhDs and stuff to read and go through a bunch of research papers. And this could create a lot of operational efficiencies in their business, because instead of hiring 10 people to read 1,000 articles, you could just have this read it and synthesize it more quickly. So I do think, yeah, even like literally a PhD level who's reading a scientific article, this could potentially do that, take the place of that. And that's a lot of times we think about job displacement as, I don't want to say lower, but the less cerebral and complex jobs, but like this can displace even higher level ones, even PhD level.
I'm curious if it's able to synthesize a scientific paper. Like, for instance, if we go to Google Scholar, and for context, I have a scientific environmental science bachelor's degree from Carleton University, and I used to do a lot of.
Juan, can you get closer to the mic?
Oh, sorry. Did you guys hear anything I said?
Can you say it again?
No, I said my technical background, I have a bachelor's degree from environmental science from Carleton University. And for context, I used to use Google Scholar to write papers all the time. And we had to dig through this thing and read papers and reference these papers properly. But I believe if this machine is able to, for instance, water management, we're able to supply something like this. And for the listeners, we're going to be taking a PhD level scientific paper from Google Scholar on water management, the current and future challenges and research directions, published in 2015. We're able to plug that into Chat, into OpenAI. Let me go back into the playground. You summarize.
Why are you doing Playground over a ChatGPT?
ChatGPT it's free and it has limited knowledge up until 2021, I believe. And it's not able to synthesize URLs yet. Whereas if I use the Playground, that's the live environment. So that has access to the entire web. At an eighth grader level, the following scientific paper. And it did exactly that.
And could you add more? Specific, like, could you elaborate, or can you like continue the conversation with it, or is it just a one hit?
Yeah, sometimes you get that. So it depends. So with the Playground interface, you have to, it's all in one prompt.
Oh, okay.
It's ChatGPT. I expect it for you to be able to say, hey, I actually want you to, it's not what I meant, but you're in the right area. I want you to further go and give me the answers. You're just not able to do that right now. Because of limitations. But as soon as they have the paid product, it's going to be game over, in my opinion. Yeah. So when it comes to any scientific research you want to do, I think this is a game changer, in my opinion. What other use cases? Oh, yeah. Wanted to wrap this one up for the business owner. So you step-by-step process on building an ideal customer profile. It just gave us the entire thing, 6 steps that you must follow. If you're lazy and you have still no idea what to do, you can say, can you provide me an example? Here's an example of an ideal customer profile. Sarah, 35 years old, location, urban, income, 70 grand, interest, health and fitness. Sarah is a 35-year-old woman who lives in an urban area, makes $70,000 to $90,000 a year. She's interested in health and fitness, outdoor activities, blah, blah, blah. She likes to be a regular customer, blah, blah, blah. And then it gives you a summary. Based on the customer's profile, a business could develop a marketing strategy that target women in the urban areas who are interested in health and fitness. They could also create a product and services such as health meal plans and other fitness classes that are tailored to Sarah's interests and needs. Would you recommend what type of catchy Google ad headlines could attract a customer like Sarah, who is interested in healthy meal plans? See where I'm going with all this, how powerful this is. So now the machine just spit out some Google ad headlines that could work for that ideal customer profile. You can ask even, how can I create, how can I launch a Google ad? We're going to put ourselves out of business here, Scott. Here are the steps to create a Google ad for the first time in your life. If you have never done that, we just ask.
I noticed they don't do links too. That's another interesting thing. They're not linking anything.
I don't think so, but I'm sure if you're using the environment that has access to the web, you can ask it to supply it. That would be great. Hey, imagine if it tells you something and then it gives you the exact link where it sourced the data from. That's something I would love to ask the machine.
This is incredible. This is an SOP like right here.
Yes.
Yeah, this is why I like it a lot.
SOP being standard operating procedure.
Say for instance, now that it told us exactly how to build a Google ad and we have the exact headlines at the top that it recommended for the ideal customer profile. What if we say now, hey, I don't want to run an ad. This is complicated. Can you show me how to hire an agency that can do this for me? Run this.
Now we're back in business.
Now we're back in business. So now I'm essentially asking this thing to figure out, yes, if you don't want to run the ads yourself, you can hire an agency that can do it for you. Here are the steps to follow. Research the agency. It's a beautiful rabbit hole, Scott and Brian. Or we can go with this thing. Can you build a sample set of questions, of interview questions, to ask a Google Ads agency before hiring them?
Okay, Google,
stop. Swear to God.
I can't wait to just nerd out and spend an entire day making art.
Yeah. And again, in my opinion, maybe this will be relevant in 10 years from now. The people that are going to be make the most amount of money are going to be the people that are going to be integrated into their own apps. And then the second amount of people that are going to make the most amount of money are going to be the people that know how to prompt the machine and know what to ask the machine to get the desired output.
It's really just a matter of training. I get it. Yeah. It sounds like it's really just a matter of practicing with the machine, practicing prompts, and then seeing what kind of prompts that you get. Like, for example, like graphic design is like, now it's like, we no longer need to hire people on Upwork. Like, let's just put them out of business.
Exactly.
Graphic designers.
Which is
absolutely insane.
Can you write an email to request a Google Ads agency vendor to apply? How do you call it? When you want somebody to...
Just for context for the audio listeners, we just asked the prompt to build a sample set of interview questions to ask a Google Ads agency before hiring them, and then spit out a list of 10 questions
that are relevant.
Yeah.
And it's something I would probably definitely ask somebody. You can even ask it for more questions if you're not satisfied with the answer. Now, sorry, my English here is a bit screwed up, but when you put, that's the name. It's an FOP? No. When you're requesting for proposals.
Request for proposal, RFP.
Can you write an email, an email to send a request for proposal to Google Ads agencies?
It's thinking.
I don't know if it knows what I wanted to ask. But then I'm going to do something crazy after that if it's able to come up with an email.
Imagine if it spits out an RFP right now. Oh, my God.
Hey, can you create a government RFP template? That would be wild. Subject, request for proposal, Google Ads Services. Dear agency, I'm writing to request a proposal for Google Ads Services for my business.
Should ask it to expand on the deliverables. Please expand on the deliverables. So I just wrote the email.
Let's think. Do you guys think it's a decent templated email?
It just blows my mind, the gains in efficiency of, I'm already thinking about just how many steps of basic things that this eliminates. Like, just for example, like going through that whole process for the graphic designer as an example of going through Upwork, going through having to then rework the design. Instead, it's just like you press a button and then it's like the epitome of figuring it the fuck out. That's literally what it does. Its whole purpose is to figure it the fuck.
Yeah. So you see here, Scott, how I ask it to expand on deliverables, but it's what it's doing is just really breaking. It says deliverables are the outputs and results that I provide that a provider or team is expected to deliver to a client or customer in the context of Google Ads Services, it supplied 5 different deliverables. But that's not really what we were trying to get out of this thing, right? We wanted it to build that into the actual email itself.
So no, it didn't get that context.
So now we're going to supply the context. Please expand on the Google Ads deliverables and include them in the outreach email. So we actually told it it was more or less wrong. We wanted to change the prompt. And now it's going to hypothetically take the email from above and actually expand on the deliverables for the proposal.
This puts stupid people out of business entirely.
Completely.
You're just, this is what we're competing against now.
I guess it's not able to do it. Can't win all the battles, can you?
I guess the only thing, maybe it's just missing the context of performance and metrics.
Let me change the context here.
Yeah, so it's, please expand on the deliverables. And
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Okay, guys, I think we were premature. The machine started talking about the Google Ad deliverables in point form, like it did on the original prompt. But then it was explaining, and then it wrote the email.
My other concern is that this is just going to make things so accessible that our sense of instant gratification is going to get exacerbated and even worse, or need for instant gratification. It's like now the entire world is so much power at our fingertips. There's so much that we can build and do with this. It's mind-blowing.
Yeah. You want to see something? You want me to add some entertainment here with ChatGPT? This is very technical. That's like, can you write? We're gonna ask it to write the original. We're going to ask it to write.
Passive aggressive way.
We can ask to write an email to send a request proposal to Google ad agencies.
In a passive aggressive, sarcastic way.
Why not? I didn't have that as an example in my head, but we'll do this one first. And I can see Brian, your head's just spinning. What do you have in mind?
No, my thought was like, keep it to something that would be like, you would never want to do that. So it's silly, but
please read this for the audience. That
I'm not sure if you guys are actually capable of providing Google Ad services, but I figured I could. We're looking for an agency that knows their stuff when it comes to ad campaigns. So we challenge them as a proposal. But honestly, we're not holding our breath. We burned away so many.
Guys, when you read something like this output, when you see this type of output where the machine actually is like a copywriter now, what do you think of the copywriting industry overall when you see something like this being produced?
They already have Jasper AI and some other tools that try to,
Jasper AI, by the way, is built on DaVinci 00. This is DaVinci 003. It's the next iteration of DaVinci. But I imagine Jasper is using DaVinci 003 by now, which is what I showed you on the playground. Everything that you see on Jasper is essentially a beautiful interface that uses the OpenAI interface, API. And what they do is they have these pre-created prompts. They just have the prompts pre-built in here. So people don't have to actually come up with the prompts. They are supplying.
I didn't know that. So this is the source of it. So I don't even.
This is the source. Just to wrap up this, for the sake of the example here, I want you guys to see something else. So can you write an email? We're going to remove the passive aggressiveness. We're going to put it in something that...
Man, we've been burned by experts before, so we'll believe it. Let's see. That's perfect. That's so fucking amazing. Oh my God.
Scott, we should actually use this to pitch Google Ad Services. Just write a passive aggressive email.
The email was written by a passive aggressive... That would actually be a really interesting subject line. This email was written by a passive aggressive. We told OpenAI to write this email in a passive aggressive, sarcastic way.
You know what? We're going to put that in the prompt right after this. But this is essentially a request for an email written with a Yoda voice. A proposal for Google Ad Services will request an experienced agency we seek to help us develop and launch effective ad campaigns on Google. A proposal we please provide that outlines your services pricing approach. It's crazy. Now let's switch gears and let's actually us as Google Ads experts, let's get OpenAI to feed us some emails to request business. Please write an email. to be very polite with this request. To, what did I use for the original prompt? To contact VPs of marketing, to contact marketing executives, pitch our Google Ads management services on performance using a passive aggressive voice.
Sarcastic. Throw the sarcasm into.
Yes.
That makes it a little more fun.
Sarcastic tone or voice? I don't know what I used last time.
The tone. It should work.
All right. Let's see. And for the agencies that are listening to this, do not use this. This is copyrighted protected. We're going to use this so you cannot use them. Otherwise, everyone's going to have the same pitch.
Finally, a service that actually works. It's so good. Are you tired of wasting money on Google Ads? And we're looking for you. We've got a service that might actually burn your time and money. The Google Ads measurement team is made up of experts who actually know what they're doing. I like some of the open quote professionals, close quote, out there. We'll take care of everything from keyword search and targeting to ad creation and performance tracking. And the best part, our services are guaranteed to deliver, unlike those guys who make all those kinds of empty promises.
Hey, Scott, you know what? This sounds like a goddamn fucking Google Ads script. Sorry, a script that we can create into an actual video advertisement while you're pitching this.
I'm wondering as well.
This into a script or YouTube? Or
curious,
a YouTube ad?
Brian, what do you think about as well everyday uses and applications? Like, how would this, would we relate this to the average person?
Yeah, I think the average to advanced per individual use case, like I said, is the research. And then you can use this framework for other, you're basically refining what you want to do. So you could say, like, how do I clean my house? Okay, well, how do I clean my house using natural products? Okay, how do I, what's the best, how do I set up a bidet, which I've never figured out? How do I, so you can kind of query things that you need to know, or yeah. And again, I'm still trying to think through the use cases of separating, differentiating this from Google, is because that's, it's effectively what you would just do on a Google query. So I'm trying to think through like the value add here, which will be more and more clear as this technologically advances. Instead of like request for proposal for ad agencies, you could do request for proposal for plumbing or like any home, any kind of like personal thing that's not business related. You could do a similar thing. Yeah, I'm still, I think you got to play around with it and see, like I said, see, like my biggest thing is what's the delta between this and the competitor, which in my mind is just me searching Google. Like, how do I do whatever and send me whatever and go read through. And this is more of a spoon fed way to go about it. That's all I'm thinking about. What do you think?
Yeah, very similar. Yeah, I like how you put it in the spoon-fed way to go about it. But it's just, it's amazing because we just took that cold email example and turned that into a YouTube video script where it's like a break-by-break, like narrator versus the video actually showing the, like describing what the video does step-by-step.
Right.
It eliminates so much like thinking time as well. If you say, for example, by just giving it these prompts of, like you said, of what's that delta between how much time does it take me to think versus and come up with the solution versus just giving this tool the prompt.
And the more, the smarter it gets, the more you can trust it and not have to like re-edit their emails or whatever you use from it.
For people that are not creative, this is an absolute game changer. Completely. And for the people who are creative, it's even more powerful. But this levels the playing field.
It's insane the amount of just thinking about it in my own personal life and then extrapolating that to the global economy of saving me that time of 5 to 15 minutes that it takes to come up with a script or a content idea. Or even, for example, that 30 minutes to an hour to hire a graphic designer on Upwork or Fiverr. It's and now that increase in output is going to, that increase in output is just going to continue to build and compound over time.
Yeah. I'm curious to see who gets displaced. Like you said, copywriters might be in for a run for their money with this.
It would just be glorified editors.
That's exactly it. Every single person that would otherwise have to come up with this manual labor of researching and putting guides together, and anything related to customer support, in my opinion. All those individuals are going to be displaced. They're going to be now verifying and fact-checking what the machine's pumping out rather than them pumping out the content and the responses needed.
Well, on that note...
Bullshit.
Oh, you're a good time. Oh, you're a good time.
How can I tell the host of the podcast to stretch out the to extend the recording time an extra 15 minutes?
Oh, man, we can't. We got to cut it short. We're hitting our cap on 90 minutes.
So you can do it. Hi, host. I'm really enjoying our conversation. I would love to continue for a few more minutes. If that's possible, is there a way we can extend the recording time by an extra few minutes?
There's no fucking way.
I have a few more points I'd like to discuss, and it would be really valuable for the listeners, especially the ones that are interested in AI technology in the marketing space.
We'll have to. We'll park it for part two. And after we have some more use cases and after we have some more experience and use cases of putting this into practice, we'll have some more value to share, ladies and gentlemen. But Juan, thanks for coming on. It's been educational. Like, I've learned so much about this tool and so much about its applications, its use cases, and how to incorporate it both business and as well as my everyday life.
I'm glad that you enjoy this. We're just scratching the surface with what we can do with this technology. It's a really exciting time for right now.
I can see that.
On that note,
I appreciate your enthusiasm and sharing with us. So we'll chat with you soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, with this episode at a close, let's fucking vamos on out of here.